This morning's public reading takes us to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Last week, we ended with Samuel taking Saul of Kish, Saul of Benjamin, son of Kish, into a upper room, probably, spacious room, with 30 witnesses and a very healthy portion of food placed before Saul, designating to these movers and shakers, these 30 individuals that were summoned by Samuel, that here is our first king. And then as the next day dawned, Samuel asks Saul's servant to walk a bit further. And at that point, we ended chapter 9, we ended chapter 9 with Samuel showing the word of the Lord, or God's word, to Saul, and then sending him back home because the lost domestic animals have been found, and now lest Kish fret for his son's sake and the servant's sake, Samuel tells him, you need to go home. The animals have been found. But Saul has been placed before certain individual people, probably the movers and shakers of that culture, that here's your first king. Well, with that behind us, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So it would seem that the chapter division here does an injustice. Now, there's nothing wrong with God's word. The chapter divisions and the first division and then the verse numbering came much, much later when the originals were written. But it's quite evident, if you look how chapter 9 ends, that I might show thee the word of God, then Samuel took a vial of oil. So the event of chapter 9, that last verse 27, flows into chapter 10, verse 1. Not only was he being given the word of God, probably being told what God expects of him, here's the anointing of Saul. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father had left the caring of the asses, and sorrowed for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then thou shalt go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. So these seem to be worshippers. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. So that was that was sustenance for Saul and his servant to get home. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tambourine and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. So notice these very specific instructions. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass. These are some interesting words, because you got two separate camps on how to understand these words. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied amongst the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? That became some type of a byword. And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. Now watch this uncle. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not. There must have been something about this uncle that maybe Saul knew, that if he gave this little bit of information, it would have been maybe in the newspaper. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord at Mizpah. Please be seated. Thank you for standing, and may God bless his word. Now, verse 1, we see a vial of oil is poured upon him. This is his anointing, his being consecrated as the captain over God's inheritance. So we have this anointing, all right? And again, oil, anointing oil was used even to this day in the coronation of a king or a queen. We had the recent coronation of King George III upon his mom's passing here recently. And he was anointed as well as his wife, Queen Consort. Okay, so you have anointing oil. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. However, in the Old Testament, oil, when used for anointing, symbolizes God the Holy Spirit. So we have Saul anointing, we have Samuel anointing Saul. All right? Now, verse 6, you were told quite plainly, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and you're going to prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Now, I struggle with Saul. When I read this the first time, I looked at that, and I says, well, that's as plain as the nose on my head, my face. He turned into another man. Well, in salvation, old things passed away, all things have become new, right? We got that principle in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. So does this mean that this was also not only his coronation, but also his day of salvation? It says he was turned into another man. Verse 7, and let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. That phrase, God is with thee, that was given to Moses, that was given to Joshua, that was given to all of God's servants as reinforcing that they were not alone. God always reassured his servants, I am with thee, even in the Great Commission, I am with thee to the end, right? I will never leave thee, I will never leave you an orphan. So, are we talking about his salvation? Okay, verse 8, we are told, you wait till I come, and I'm going to show you everything that you're going to do. Now notice, that was not given to him when he first meets Samuel. This idea, I'm going to tell you what your job is, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. All this is following after his anointing, after being amongst the prophets, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, we're told he's a different man. Verse 10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. A second time, the Spirit of God came upon him. And then in verse 11, at the end, you have this proverb. Whoa! Saul, son of Kish? Is he now amongst the band of prophets? You see that in verse 12. And so the question is, was Saul saved? Now there are those, especially those on the camp, that believes that a true believer can never lose salvation. Well, Saul didn't lose anything other than his kingdom and his crown. So when the Bible tells us that because of his final sin, that kind of tipped the scales, and God tells him, you are no longer king of the kingdom, and I'm going to go seek me out a king who will do all of my will. He lost the kingdom and the crown. Well, that's not salvation. Being made a king doesn't save you. But we have this description of the Spirit of God coming upon him. Okay, coming upon him. And we're told he was now a new man. He was another man. Well, in the context, is another man talking about the fact that now he joins the prophets in prophesying? That didn't happen before the animals were lost. I mean, before the animals wandered away, before his father sent him on the errand. As far as we know, Saul was Saul. Prophets and then uttering prophetic utterance was not on the radar prior to the animals being lost. So is it talking about that? Because eventually when he goes to the Witch of Endor, which basically seals his fate, and he becomes a madman in pursuit of David to kill him, is that the actions of a saved man? So there is this controversy, beloved, and sometimes I find myself flipping like a fish. Yeah, he was saved. I look at this evidence here. I mean, that's as clear as it can be. I can't add to that. I'm not going to take away from it, but there it is. He becomes another person. So when he went to the Witch of Endor, was he acting as a saved man who simply lost his way big time, saved by the skin of his teeth, so to speak? Or was he not saved all this time? There's a struggle there, I have to admit. And there are some days I can fall on either side of the camp. But I want to leave you on one more thing. Maybe you didn't catch this. Remember when Saul invites David, or David is basically hired to soothe Saul's erratic behavior, and the music seemed to settle him? Did you catch verse 5? After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. Now watch this. It shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place. So they're coming down from worship. Notice what accompanied them. Psaltery, tambourine, pipe, and harp before them, and they shall prophesy. When you read the Old Testament, certain parts of the Old Testament, you will find this association between one making prophetic utterance and the use of music. Didn't David write all the Psalms on a harp, using a harp? And the Psalms, nothing more but his prophetic utterance. He was a prophet, according to Peter in the book of Acts. Not only was David a king, he was also a prophet and a shepherd boy. I find that interesting. And so those who downplay music and instruments kind of tread lightly on thin ice. I wanted to show you that. Notice that these prophets, in part of their worship at this time, whatever they did up there, when they came down, they were prophesying. And notice the accompaniment of musical instruments. And it was a harp that David used to pacify fits of madness when King Saul was on the throne. Remember that reading in your Old Testament reading? David played a harp and that kind of soothed the savage beast. Food for thought. Well, may God truly bless his word. Amen.